Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Here we are, 30,000 feet of Minnesota. We have Allie Clifton, Richard Jefferson, and Channing Frye.
Right,
here we are, Marvin. I mean, what's the weather looking like?
The weather is looking
No, wait. I actually talked to Michael Jordan before the game, and he was saying that he feels ready. Game six, he's ready.
He's ready.
The little NBA he has nothing on else NBC. To do. That's what we all grew up watching, basketball. Ladies and gentlemen.
I don't think I was born yet. So
thanks.
With that, I will let you know that the road tripping crew has taken off. And they're a little hyper.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We
right
definitely
now,
are hyper.
You've got Kyrie Irving,
woo!
Channing Frye,
woo, woo!
Richard Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
And we're all, again, 30,000 feet above sea level.
For tonight, goody.
For tonight's episode.
Yes.
Channing.
Who are you? Who are you? I didn't hear your name.
It's the only girl in the group, guys.
What is her? What is her name?
She's our Fergie to our Black Eyed Peas.
Fergie.
Well, that was cute. I liked that.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Allie Clifton.
That's the first compliment I've gotten in years.
Is that your cue?
No. Oh, God. Here we go.
Oh.
Yeah, he's never heard that.
Wow.
No,
it is Valentine's
I'm
Day.
Always
that was
oh,
that
I love your personality.
Yeah, Jay's always been a great personality
You're so
guy.
Nice.
He's so nice. You remind me of my brother.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's how you know friend zone.
My cousin friend is just zone. Like you.
Friend zone.
It's all good. I love the friend zone.
Oh, I have a gay best friend just like you.
Oh, my
okay.
goodness.
Too Edit much. That motherfucker right on out. Delete.
Delete.
Delete the thread.
I'm not playing with you. Delete all that shit.
Delete all that shit. So anyways, yeah, so we're sitting above.
The ground.
The ground.
Yeah.
Sea level, whatever you want to call it.
And we're here.
And we're feeling good.
We're feeling good.
One game before the break.
We're a game before All-Star break. This
Man,
is an exciting time.
The season's usually, gone by fast.
Usually you don't want to lose going into All-Star break.
The getaway game.
It's
a trap game.
Yeah.
It is a trap game.
Yeah. You don't want to lose those games going into All-Star break. You want to feel good. You know, team's healthy. Or for some part, at least.
Right, yeah,
God. Jesus. It took me a while. We had team's healthy. Well,
no.
Yeah, we're down.
Yeah,
we're down, big fella.
Dudes are stepping up, though.
Yeah.
Oh, mainly you.
Like yourself.
No, dude,
like
listen.
Yourself.
No.
This guy goes and has 20 and 10, and he's like, yeah, guys are stepping up.
I wasn't even thinking about me. Like, honestly,
wait
I was not thinking about me.
Channing.
I'm not self-promoting anything. Real C. Frye on Instagram. No, D. Will's doing great. James is coming in there, giving us good minutes. Korver's just some of the shots he takes. I'm like, that's a good shot, Doug.
That's
wait,
what,
really?
Well, Channing,
it's
why do you think – we stopped running plays for you in the second unit.
Oh,
he is a far better shooter than
100% better shooter than me. We talked about that in the last podcast.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you definitely are on top of my list. But
ooh.
Kyle, you know, Kyle's got a flamethrower.
El Flama Blanco.
La Flama Blanca.
That's his new name. Dude, he has new names
We have
all
a
the
new
time.
Name, ladies and gentlemen, for Kyle
El
Korver.
Flama Blanco.
La Flama Blanco. Yes.
I think, what was
the
that
white
from that
flame.
I was going to say, will you explain?
It's from Eastbound and Down, Kenny Powers, which used
Love
to be,
that.
Kenny Powers was my old alias on the road
so
for
good.
Years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen Kenny Powers?
Eastbound and
the
Down.
The first season was unbelievable.
I couldn't get all the way into it.
Every season was amazing.
The second season was, third season was,
But this is All-Star
Edition. For those who – no, not yet. I don't want to go there yet.
Let's not go there.
Wow.
Because you just brought up a cool topic.
Yeah.
How about what?
Aliases.
Oh, aliases, yes. So I can't tell my alias now?
That. Don't do
explain
that.
To the listeners first what we're talking about.
So basically, aliases started – you have to have that when you check into a hotel, or else if you're just underneath your own name – fans can call, reporters can call.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can call the hotel. It's not hard to find out what hotel you're in. Mm-hmm. So they're like, hey, can you connect me with Kyrie Irving's room? And you're getting, hey, this is a radio interview or something. You just
let me get some tickets, man.
So you basically come up with an alias. And you got guys that are President Obama, T. Lou. T. Lou's old one, because I play with T. Lou in Milwaukee. His name was McLovin. Right, so it was just like they would call him like, "Hello, Mr. McLovin."
Yeah.
So everybody's got rant. What's one of your aliases that you've had throughout your time, Kai?
I've been stuck on one for a while, man. I can't say it. I've been stuck on one for a while.
Mine used to be James Bond.
James Bond. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Just nutty. Just nutty.
What is yours,
James Bond?
Richard? Because you said what is yours?
Mine. I was Christian Troy because I was a Nip Tuck fan.
Often do you change them?
Well, you got to change it every couple years, or if you find a character or somebody you like.
I don't change mine. I haven't changed mine. I haven't changed
since
mine.
Since you've come into the league.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, man, that's crazy.
At first, I didn't even have an alias. I didn't think the Cavs gave me one. And then I made up one, I think, after my third year.
Can I tell you guys, I literally sit there and try and guess who is who.
Oh, that would be a great.
You would know mine. You would know mine because – you know mine. Yeah, mine's easy.
Was it Uncle Drew?
No. Oh, my God.
Uncle Drew was a
no.
guy.
It was a joke, guys.
No.
Oh, no. I don't even know his alias.
No, like, honestly, you know what? That actually brought up a good thing. You know what? I'm going to change mine for the next road trip. I'm going to change mine.
I'm changing
mine. Mine was Kanye West.
Kanye West. Oh, Mr. West.
K-West.
K-West. That's
because the likely chance of someone calling and asking for Kanye West at the hotel is very slim.
Do you know?
Very slim.
Well, I'm changing mine. So you want to know what mine is?
What?
So mine was Beat Ho, first name Mustard, Mustard on a Beat Ho. So people would call and be like, how you doing, Mr. Beat Ho? And it's like, good. Or like if you forget your key, they were like, can I see your ID? And they're like, yeah. They're like, what's the last name? I was like, Beat Ho. They're like, what's the first name on the reservation? And I was like, Mustard. And they just look at you and most people don't get
it. They can't take it
serious. They don't get it. They can't take
it. Wait, so how does that work?
What do you mean? How's that work?
If you lose your key, what do you prove? Like, what do you?
I mean, they know us in the hotel.
They know our hotel.
7 foot.
So then, if
I'm
someone
black,
calls,
I need to get in my room.
So if someone, So if someone calls, though, here's my point: is why have an alias if they know who you are? If someone calls and says, "I need to talk to,"
No, they won't.
No, they won't.
They
do
won't
that.
Don't release
alias
it.
Only.
No, they'll get in some big trouble.
Yes. Ooh, the only thing that they're able to do is give us a key. They're like, "Hey, I'm in room 1002. This is my alias." They know that. It's an easy transaction because they know that the teams are staying in the hotel.
Oh, I got you.
And most of the time it's after shoot around when everyone forgets their key.
Oh, yeah.
So you still have your jersey and all of your team issued gear on. So
I got you.
That's not a bad one.
Uh-uh.
Okay, you can skip to All-Star. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying this is All-Star Weekend edition.
Yeah.
We're recording on the plane. We have our All-Star Kyrie Irving.
Whoop whoop.
So we're gonna get into. We're gonna
congratulations.
Get
congratulations.
That's my own little party.
That's your own little party. You can have your own little party.
Yeah, you can party on Bourbon Street.
Oh, wow, Channing, that's how you feel. That's how you
dude,
feel. What a sound, ladies
take
and gentlemen.
One.
That was not a sound effect. That was actually Channing Frye.
No, it was
talking.
Not. I did
I'm
not
actually
fart
excited.
On the plane.
I'm actually excited.
You gotta
really
be excited,
excited,
man.
Really,
excited.
Are
it's
you?
An honor.
No, I'm excited
to play
because this is a chance to go in, talk to some of the guys throughout the league. Get to know some of the mental things, spread some bear traps, because we'll be playing against a few of them. So, I'll be throwing a few jabs here and there, some
you
bear
throwing,
traps.
You throwing Koopa shells?
Whatever.
Koopa shells?
That is
I'll let
so
your boy.
But it's always fun.
It's
always
Mario
fun.
Kart reference, dog.
It's
like
always
you don't
fun.
Love Mario Kart.
No, I apologize. We should always take a moment here for Mario Kart and Koopa shells.
Thank you.
Why don't
oh,
I know
Lord.
It? It's a really obscure reference.
Did
that
you
Channing
ever play Mario Kart? You're a girl. Of course you played Mario Kart.
No, I played regular Mario and
oh, Lord.
Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Smash
Sonic.
Brothers?
Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, ridiculous.
My goodness.
Such a good
list. Never played it. Did you guys get the throwback Nintendo for Christmas?
Yes. Yep. Yes, thank you, Nintendo. I love you.
Yes, I did.
I didn't.
They are awesome.
But you weren't a Nintendo.
I'm a big Xbox fan. I'm sorry. I'm not going back.
You didn't have that, so there's not a nostalgic feeling for you.
No.
But
no.
For me,
well, I was actually in my driveway working on my jump shot. I didn't have time.
And my two older brothers.
Video games. Okay. Some of us had time for Mario Kart. Nintendo. Okay.
Oh, dude.
I was in my driveway. Doing in and outs.
Working on your spin off the glass.
Oh, my goodness.
Somehow.
That's what I used to tell people.
My dad was the mini Joe Jackson at first. I always tell him that. It's hilarious. He was the mini Joe Jackson of basketball for me.
Just harsh.
Yeah. Yeah. Tape my right hand to the back of my, my bag. Work on your left hand all day. shoot all left hand jump shots and stuff like that.
Mini Joe Jackson.
But it made me stronger.
Hey, you are a strong person.
You are stronger.
And your left hand is above average.
Ooh, I had a left hand fillet tonight.
You filet-o-fish that thing. I love a good filet-o-fish sometimes.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
My bad.
Oh, here we go. Channing is 9 for 9 for fast food references during our podcast.
I don't know what it is.
Hold on, but I have a question for you.
Pita Pit, Rally's, McDonald's.
And I'm far removed from that industry because of my thought process. And I honestly can't support something that I honestly don't feel like would benefit us health-wise.
Right.
Like fast food restaurants, they are – like some of them are
– grody.
Have you watched some of the Instagram time lapses?
No, I don't.
A 30-day span of what a specific burger looks like from this place or this place.
The way I view that, Kai, is very similar to childbirth. If you watch childbirth, then you'll never want to. You'll never want to partake.
Listen,
so as long as you don't
there
watch,
there are some parts you can watch, and there are other parts you're supposed to keep your head up by the neck.
Yeah. Like so, as
100%.
So all three of us being fathers, fathers here, there are parts of childbirth that you don't want to see. I'm going to be really honest. I don't care how they make
a Taco Bell chalupa.
Oh, I just want to partake
in
it.
By the way, the fact
give me some MSG for a second.
The fact that we are comparing childbirth
fast food
of our children to the fast food industry and the disrespectful health reasons why we shouldn't be eating it. The fact that we have beautiful children. And you're comparing it to how they prepare a burger and you don't want to see how it's prepared?
That is an awful comparison.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. It's an awful comparison.
No.
I'm sorry. That's just how I feel. There are certain things that you shouldn't see, don't want to see, and can't unsee.
How about that? And then childbirth is something that you need to see because of how beautiful it is. And you need to see what it looks like for them putting all that bones and chicken eggs and all that bad stuff.
I will stop you guys for a second
stuff.
And let you know, he is 24 years old.
No.
And you guys are what, 33?
They're joking. He is far
more mature.
Oh, 100%. He's way more mature
way
than
more
we
mature
are.
Than both of us.
Oh, oh
put together.
But that, yeah. Yeah, most likely.
No, but it's crazy. And I think that you guys need to be aware of it.
We are.
We're aware.
Like, there are some things I don't want to know. Like, I don't know if my mind is ready to wrap around, like, do aliens really exist?
Oh, here you go with the conspiracy theory.
Oh, you know it's coming.
I know it's coming.
Segway. Listen, what
you guys
would you
just let
do?
Me know.
What
actually, just do? Educate me on these because okay. I don't
oh,
really.
Oh, I have
what
a
would
lot.
You do?
Please. What would you do if somebody said, you know what, guys, we've been lying to you for the last 100 years, aliens exist? What would that do to your entire world?
Well, it would open it up.
Yeah.
It would open it up. It would open it up.
They're like, everybody, there's one out of every five people is an alien.
Yeah.
What would you even do?
Well,
You got to
think about it.
One out of ten.
I would definitely think I had a few ex-girlfriends that were aliens.
No, they
were definitely crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
We've all been there.
What does that say
about your judge of character?
They were aliens. And
they were they were obviously out of this world.
That's why they were exes.
There we go.
Everybody, Kyrie Irving.
No, but seriously, I wake up sometimes. I go outside and, I go outside and I look and then I tell them, if they're out there, just beam me up already.
Like, no, I do not.
I've seen enough to
have
really
you
give
you
a report
Fire in the Sky?
On what how humans are.
Dude, have you seen beam the movie Fire in the Sky?
Is that when they do like
the anal probes and all that stuff? I think, dude, it weirded me out because it was in Phoenix. I was like 14.
Oh, jeez.
It was like, no way, Jose.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think that first we need to get past the whole
Illuminati.
We're not
gonna go there. Okay.
Not that we can talk about that. But I'm just saying that what space is and how it exists in terms of what stars are.
How
and
minute
what it, all
we are.
And that's what
it
I'm saying.
It is unbelievable.
Just tell us. You're sending up all these things.
But I just so many
these,
satellites.
All these vehicles up there that are running. First off, the fact that.
What are you talking about?
I have
about?
No you know, idea. We're talking about talking all about, the we're vehicles about, we put right. in Mars.
Okay, who was the man that walked on the moon?
Neil Armstrong.
Yes.
The fact that his footprints don't look the same comparatively to the boots that there are in the museum is ridiculous.
How do you know that?
You can look it up. I look up these stuff. I look up these things all the time.
Okay.
His boot print is not the same. So you want me to really sit back after you've proven to me? They have a picture of it and his boots side by side. I need an explanation.
Well, there's dust and
there's
cosmic winds.
Have
you not seen Armageddon?
In moon.
Have you not seen Armageddon? They were going to put
what is
cosmic
this, Transformers?
Winds.
No,
the dark
put,
side of the moon.
No, but I have a very firm belief that what they're putting out in front of us is there for a reason. It just depends on whether you want to believe in the truth or not.
Exactly.
The fact that they can make all these movies with alien descriptions and really they're not going
nobody's
off
that imaginative. Nobody is
strictly
that
just brain power, and this is just creative things that we're going to put out to everybody to what? Ultimately put an alien movie out for what?
Wait right here. Okay. So this is what I want to get at.
Let's get at it.
Kyrie Irving, do you believe there are aliens?
Okay.
Yes.
I'm asking. Okay, yes.
Yeah, I believe there are.
Yes. Channing Frye, do you believe there are aliens?
I don't even want to say aliens. I just want to say that there are extraterrestrial beings
100%.
That exist. Or there are
in
other
universe.
Beings. In the universe.
Yes, I would agree.
I would agree with that.
In the vast universe.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I would say yes.
Do you believe that the Earth is round?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You believe that Earth is round?
Yes, but I heard the new one that the Earth
There's
is
no new one. There is no new one.
Okay, I heard some crazy
believe,
one. My boy
do you believe that we are
–
do you believe – do you believe –
this is going to sound crazy. Ben Diggles, this is a shout-out to you. He came to us, and he listens to Super Conspiracy
yes.
Theory Guy.
This is not even conspiracy.
The Earth is flat.
Yeah, no, the Earth is flat.
Oh, God, here we go.
The Earth is flat. Earth is flat.
Have you ever had vertigo? The Earth is not flat.
Let's
come
go.
On, Kai.
No, say, I'm just say saying
Earth
that,
is
that,
not flat.
No,
let's
that,
hear
that
this.
All these things, hear. All these things that particular groups, I won't even pinpoint one group, that they almost offer up this education. The fact that in our lifetimes that there are so many holes and so many pockets
in our history,
in our history,
unbelievable.
But by the way, I want
to
go.
Let's
I want
to
say that
the
there is just God. History. I don't want to dictate it to one race, dictate it to any one particular type of people or anything like that. History is history, and it's happened long before us, and it's going to happen after us. And it always repeats itself somehow, in some way.
Yeah, because we're stupid.
All these things that they keep giving to us,
all, right.
all
the
this
BS.
Information.
They're giving us bad hamburgers from McDonald's, dog.
You like the hamburgers.
I don't eat the hamburgers. I'm only
that you
chicken
can compare
sandwich.
To watching your child be born, yeah.
I have
okay.
three, so I've seen a lot of things.
I'm just saying that these things that ultimately used to put me in fear in this
yeah.
thing, and it used to be like, oh, man. It makes you not want to question it naturally.
Yes.
Because of how much information you actually can figure out and how much information there actually is out there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You can – anything that you have a particular question on, okay, is the world flat? Is the Earth flat or round?
Yeah.
I think you need to do research on it. Like, ultimately.
But who's
I'm not
to
gonna,
say the research that you do is – going to give you the answer? Like,
oh,
who actually has the answer?
Because it's right in front of our faces. I'm telling you, it's right in front of our faces. They lied to us.
Who?
So, wait.
That's
wait.
What I'm saying.
The
that,
man.
That's the question. It's not the man. It's not the man. It's not the man. What are we in a 1998 movie? Yeah, the man. Oh, wait. I was just talking to somebody about the man the other day. I got mad at him the other day. Yeah, the man. He's holding me down.
That
what were we saying?
So wait, Kai. So
it took me off. It took me off.
This
who
is great.
So, oh, who are they?
Yeah.
They okay.
Kai, real quick. Okay, real
Go
quick.
Ahead.
Do you believe the Earth is round or flat?
Look, for what I've known for as many years and
what
I've
been
come
taught?
To believe, what I've been taught is that the Earth is round.
Yes.
But I mean, if you really think about it from a landscape of the way we travel, the way we move, and the fact that can you really think of us rotating around the sun and all planets aligned, rotating in specific dates, being perpendicular with what's going on with these planets, and stuff like this.
How are you going to put planets in quotations?
I'm going to put planets because everything that they send or they want to say that they're sending.
They thought Pluto was a planet until like 4 years ago.
It doesn't come back. There is no concrete information except for the information that they're giving us. They're particularly putting you in a direction of what to believe and what not to believe. And the truth is right there. You just got to go searching for it.
Allie,
I've been searching for it for a while.
Why search for something you're never going to find an answer to?
Well, what do you mean?
It's the
journey of finding it because it's like it's almost expanding. Like,
who wants to go on a journey that doesn't have an end?
This is called life.
What do you mean?
Who wants to go on a journey that has no end? You're not going to ever find out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. See, that's why you have to put some of those things on hold.
Yeah. Some
See,
of what
like,
things?
All right, so the conspiracy theories, like I used to be, like I can go on like about all the questions I have, but what it really came down to for me was everything that was particularly thrown in front of me, I had to just be like, okay, look, this is all a facade. Like this is all something that they ultimately want me to believe in that is true whether or not or whatever. But now there is a certain aspect of life in which I want to tell people about, which is this true journey of really becoming a complete individual in total freedom of thought. Like, Ooh. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm with you, brother.
Total
I'm with you.
Freedom of thought where
it's not so much
emotions,
the journey, it's the ability to question things.
Yeah, no,
it's
no.
It's ability to question things.
It's
ability
ever
to
get any
question
answer.
Things.
Yeah, but like,
even if an answer doesn't come back, that you're perfectly fine with that because you were never living in that particular truth.
Right.
There's a falseness in stories and things that people want you to believe and ultimately what they throw in front of us, and I keep saying
basically, there was two shooters with JFK. There was not one.
The fact that a man signs 21 days before he gets assassinated, he wants to end the bank cartel in the world, and all of a sudden, 21 days, he's assassinated. And the fact that Bob Marley's birthday just passed, and the CIA hired Jamaican people to try assassinate Bob Marley. There were multiple assassination attempts on Bob Marley. The fact that he tried to bring people together and a fact that it was fundamentally brought on love and truth and we kill people for doing the right thing like that.
And I'm going to be really honest.
If this podcast is going way left, I completely understand.
Keep
if you guys don't
left.
Want to talk about
what?
It.
What?
Well,
like,
no, but I'm completely
we're making
fine
a big
with
loop
it.
Around
what,
the block.
What I have
because
learned,
the earth is round.
What I have learned is in life, do not try and bring people together. Boy.
Oh, yeah.
They will take you out so fast.
Oh, so fast.
Oh, do not try and bring people together.
In what way?
Just, Bob Marley only preached togetherness. He gone.
Yeah.
He gone. Martin Luther King only preached togetherness. They took him out.
Yeah.
You guys preach togetherness all the time.
Malcolm X was anti one group, but then he went to Mecca, came back, and was like, I believe that Muslim brothers and sisters come from all colors, race, gone.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just saying.
I think that my ultimate goal, and I think some of their goals, was to ultimately drop what race means in the entire world. Like, I mean, the fact that you're a human, Allie. You're a human, Rafa. You're a human, RJ. You're a human, Chance.
Somebody could be an alien.
The fact that we can't live
harmoniously
together, that blows my mind. So what do? They create separation in race. They create separation in class. They create separation in different things that will ultimately spread people apart. And that's the way you control power. That's the way you control power in the whole entire world.
Carry
you dictate all that.
Many years and moons down the road when you are no longer on this earth. What do you want people to remember you or know you as?
He questioned that the earth was flat.
There was a far bigger purpose and calling for me, bigger than basketball. This game, I love it so much. I dedicate a lot of my time to it, but I also have found out that working on myself can also coincide with being a basketball player and being the best that I can be. I always thought that, okay, I don't have the energy. So when I go home, I listen to Jiddu Krishnamurti and I'm listening to audiobooks while I'm taking naps and I'm thinking about things. So ultimately, not only for my generation but the next generation after that, the current generation, how do I make an impact by not just coming out and say I support one group or one race or I support this, and then ultimately it has an opposite. If it has an opposite, if it has something that the other person can say is negative, then that means that ultimately it's not the truth. The ultimate truth is one way no matter what. If we live in that truth every single day, it's only one way. There is no, well, I want to be friends with this person, or excuse me, I want to talk to about, okay, we'll bring up, like, police brutality. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk about this for months and months and months and months and months. But still, I mean, we can change the job landscape. We could change this. We could change that. But at the end of the day, until we fundamentally love one another mm-hmm. and understand that the journey in terms of where we all come from has some beauty in it while we're all brought together. I didn't say that by any chance when I said that the championship team was brought together for any reason. Like, little things like that and moment-to-moment things, like, okay, take an appreciation for you getting ready for a game. Why don't you take a second just to enjoy the shower that you're in? When's the last time you ever just was like, you know what? I'm not worried about anything but this moment right now. I'm only worried about loving this next person that I love. I'm only worried about getting everything I can get out of myself in the game of basketball. I'm only worried about getting everything I can take knowledgeable in this book. That's how you live in every single moment, free of thought. You're just like, you're not emotionally attached to one thing. So me being in a conversation with someone else, I'm going to give them everything. But also I can share it with everyone else. I have enough energy to give it to everybody. So selfish in sharing that energy. It's like, There's enough of all of us to go around. There's enough moments and energy for all of us to live in that. And I believe in that. I really do. And I'm still learning how to communicate that with people through my actions, through who I am. I want to be free of my emotions. I want to be free of thought. I want to be in total freedom. I want to be in control of this. So ultimately, I can share with everyone. And then I still have it for myself. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Boy, you deeper than the other end of the pool.
Me and Channing like to talk about our favorite beer.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. No beer, man. Cutting the cars. Favorite wine,
Kai, that's one of the things that I think, part of the reason why I think as a group we wanted to start this podcast is because very rarely do you get an opportunity to express yourself and put out your thoughts free of restrictions, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. We can put that out for fans to listen. They want to know who you are. Yeah. They want to know about this team. They want to know what makes us tick. Guys always like, what can I do to be a better basketball player? Or, what you know, with Kyrie? It's like, well, a lot of it has to do about your thought process and how you approach things from a physical standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from just a growth standpoint. Yeah. And I think the best thing about this pod and doing it with you guys and getting a chance to sit down because – you and I, we have spent tons of dinners together. Mm-hmm. We've spent, you know, been in game sevens together. Mm-hmm. We've been on bus rides together. We crack jokes with. But this is one of those rare times where we all get to sit down and just talk for 45 minutes, talk for an hour.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, man.
I love it.
No, it gives an insight to you that I think people out there don't know and I think is awesome.
Appreciate it.
No one cares about what
Channing
thinks.
What about you guys? What about you, Channing?
I think, you know, I agree on Kyrie with a lot of things. It's like, I think my biggest thing, especially like when I had a year off where, you know, when somebody tells you you're about to die, you kind of like reevaluate your life. And so, you know, for me, with just being in the present, and I would get mad anxiety because I'm always trying to control things, not only so that I'm happy, so other people are happy. And what I found out is
it's the other way.
It's the other way around.
People are happy.
Exactly. Yeah. When I'm happy, the empathy that I have with my family and my friends is contagious. And so, like I told people, it's like when I'm out there playing, like, yeah, I get frustrated because I expect to play at a certain level. But, dude, I'm looking at the crowd like, who gets to do this on a daily basis? When I say this is all I have to do today, literally that's all I have to do. As tired as I am, I thought, okay, I'm done. I get to go home, go to sleep, and I have to do this again. And then I get to fly to some awesome place and just spend time with the people that I love. And I think it's hard for us to not be in the present. And I think it's like, it has to do with phones. It has to do with materialistic things. It's always like, what can I get better? Because you say, like, if I get a new car and somebody else gets a new car, somebody's like, oh, man, that car has the new touchscreen in it. Damn, I need a new car. Yeah. But did you even appreciate the car that you have? Or do you appreciate, like, the fact that, like, you know, Valentine's Day, the fact that, like, somebody called you or texts you? Do you appreciate the time that people give? Because at the end of the day, Champ said something great. It's like, you could buy everything else in this world except for time. You know, and time is important, and the time that you have with the relationships that you build in that time is the most important thing that you're ever going to have. You know, and that's why, like, for me, I don't really hate nobody. I may hate one or two people. Rather than that, you know, like, I love everybody, you know, and I'm trying to get to know everybody's point of view because I think it's so amazing. Like, Allie, you're from some podunk town in Ohio.
That's insulting.
Eventually, we're gonna find out how you made it to where you made it because there's some awesome story. It's like you went from the high tops to the knee braces, you know, to now you're here talking with us, and who knows where you're going to go. So for us to have a relationship, especially do it on this podcast, I think is amazing. It's like we come from all these different worlds, you know. He's from L.A. sort of, but he grew up in Phoenix. You know, I'm from, you know, grew up in kind of New York but New Hampshire and then moved to Phoenix. And then Kyrie's from
Jersey.
Born in Australia.
Born in Australia. But, like, yeah, how the crazy. Heck does that come together? Yeah. It's mind-blowing. And man, hey, I used to watch you when you were playing. And all of a sudden now we're on the same team. You know, I don't know how many mm-hmm. teams can really say. I've been on a lot of teams, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know you. Like, I don't know where you're from. I've never seen you before. No correlation to you. But the relationships that we build and the time that we give each other is extremely important.
No, but that's one of the things that, like you said, it's like everyone comes from different areas. And I had teammates. You might remember, you're a Jersey kid, but there was a kid on our team, Nenad Krstić.
Yeah.
And then there was another one, Zoran Planinic.
He's from Serbia.
And Planinic was from Croatia.
Yeah.
Now,
oh, man.
So I would sit next to these guys. Now, mind you, these guys were, you know, in their early 20s. So they were growing up during the Civil War in Bosnia and Herzegovina, the former Yugoslavia. So they were growing up in that time. And so I remember sitting, and they would sit next to each other because they spoke the same language. But I would, you know, I was close friends with Zoran probably more than Nenad. But I would ask them questions just because I was curious. And they were like, oh, if our dads sat next to each other, they would try and kill each other.
That's
but
crazy.
Here these two guys are 10 years, because it was in the mid-90s. And so here we are in 2003, so less than 10 years later, and two kids that grew up in that time, that grew up during the Civil War, during the genocide, during just the crazy, crazy time, the breakup of the Yugoslavia, now these guys are sitting next to each other, sharing meals, playing basketball.
Yeah.
Like that's something that people don't ever really fully understand what this game can do, how this game can bring people together.
Yeah.
Like it's mind-blowing. Like that, to me, I learned early on. It's different.
When you just focus on basketball, you're not even getting 1% of what this journey is about.
Yeah.
If you're out there like, I got to play good, you're missing out on the whole purpose of us playing basketball. Like, I started playing basketball, and I started loving it because that's where I would make friends, you know? Because I'd be like, man, you guys understand me, you know, and this is where I'm comfortable, but yet you see me at my most vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing more vulnerable, either missing a last-second shot or not playing good or somebody barbecuing you, where you have to put your pride to the side, or you get dunked on and you got to look at all your boys like, hey. Damn.
Well, I'm at my most vulnerable at basketball. Like, basketball for me was – a way to compete. To this day, I'm just a competitor. I don't care what it is. Like, I could have been playing any sport. You give me an opportunity to compete, that's what drives me. That's why I wake up in the morning. That's what makes me want to do everything. But it was like, my wife was like, I don't think I've ever seen you cry, not even at the birth of your own son.
Yeah, you were crying like a baby.
But I was crying like a baby after we won that championship. It was because I put so, like, because I said this, I'd never dreamt about the day of being a father. I never dreamt about that. Like, I look forward to it, but the day that I dreamed of was trying to be a champion. Every day I woke up, every time I had surgery, every day something wasn't right, and just pressing and pressing and pressing. I dreamed about that day, and so it was an emotional moment. Now, with my son and my family, and my two sons, it's a different emotion completely. But I feel like at times I've been my most vulnerable at basketball, like just emotionally and putting yourself out there, because there's nothing worse than just being on that island.
Yeah. No, yeah. Allie feels like that every time we get on the podcast. She like cries herself to sleep. I want to do it tomorrow.
Do what tomorrow?
The podcast, girl. Were you not paying attention? I was over there folding origami.
I was actually somewhat, I don't want to say the opposite, but it was split.
Yeah.
It was split down the middle because – my dad gave me the ball. You know, I had an interest in it anyway. But, you know, when I was in school, I wanted to be friends with the basketball team.
Yeah.
But then I also wanted to be friends with my you know, my band classmates.
Yeah,
my,
dog.
You know, my jazz band.
What
I wanted
did
to,
you play?
I played the baritone.
Did you?
The baritone?
Dog?
I was carrying that thing home, man.
Oh, dude.
Man.
Oh, dog. Are you kidding? I played the trumpet, so I had to get braces.
Three years of chorus right here, this guy.
No, he was talking about the chorus like at church.
No, I'm talking about
at school.
Choir.
At school.
Yeah, chorus or choir.
You are easily the worst singer I've ever
I'm a terrible singer. But
what were you?
The girl-to-guy ratio was like
tenor,
12 to 1.
Bass.
Oh, my God.
The girl-to-guy ratio was 12. Yeah. And it was the easiest A you could ever get. You show up, you sing, you try your best. They don't grade you based off your singing ability. They grade you based off showing up for the concerts and at least trying in class. That's all they grade you on. Now, instruments are different.
Yeah.
But if you just had to be like chorus because you had the band.
Park,
the band would play. The chorus would sing.
On the trumpet?
Just have a good time.
How much of playing the trumpet was an attraction to you because there was only three?
Well, baritone's only
baritone's
three,
the same thing. It's a mini tuba. You know what really got me into music? My dad came home one day. My dad and my grandpa were big jazz listeners. So it was all they would listen to all the time. And then we would go to jazz festivals in Sedona. So, like, I was always around that kind of music. So they were like, hey, do you want to try an instrument? And I tried the violin, and I tried the viola, and I was like, okay, I got to switch to the big boy stuff. Give me a trumpet.
By the way, people, Sedona, top five beautiful places
in
the world.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But, dude, I started playing it, and it was like –
played the violin.
It was like in
second
grade.
You're way too big. You were 7'3" in second grade.
No, I wasn't. I think I was like 5'6".
Oh, man.
You were trying to get beat up.
Back in my heyday, what grade were you when you played the violin?
Second grade.
You with the violin.
Why are you 7 foot with a violin? No, no, no. I switched over to the trumpet. I got some cool kids.
Nothing's wrong with the violin, but I'm just saying back in my heyday when I thought, you know, that's
the violin, then I moved to the viola.
Yeah, you said that you were the kind of the awkward stage.
Super awkward, always. Yeah. It was the worst.
Hey, you know who I was? Huh. I was the guy that was not trying to lose in anything in gym class, and I started getting so mad in gym class. Like, no, I gotta win.
Oh, that kid.
And then people stopped. Didn't like me.
Did you guys have field day?
Yes,
of course.
Oh my God,
I was the worst.
I was the best.
I was the best at field day. That was the only
worst.
Thing. So I promise you, I can tell you this day, I lost to Garrett Smith.
Oh my
so
God.
I lived in one part of Phoenix, your class got to compete in everything, long jump, triple jump, high jump, you know, whatever it was, 100, 200, 400 mile. So you got to compete in everything. And then
how many events did you do?
So I moved to my other school, and I was only the other school said each class had to have certain participants, so I was only allowed to participate in four events. So I did the 100, the 200, the 400, and high jump.
Oh, that was the worst.
Right? I got second twice, fifth grade and sixth grade, to Garrett Smith. He beat me in the 100, crushed the 200, crushed the 400, and won the high jump. That's it. So I won six out of my eight events.
Participation award. I got the ribbon.
I'm still pissed off for losing to Garrett Smith. Yeah. It still bothers me.
You'll never forget that.
No, I'll never forget because I got second, and that was a perfect record. You know?
Sorry.
Sometimes it's great to ruin perfect records.
Sixth grade basketball tournament, I hit the game winner, and I was like, yeah! I'm the nicest kid ever, and I was screaming at this other school because they were like, he's lying. He's not that old. I was 6'2 at the time.
You're
6'2
so in
sixth grade.
In sixth grade.
I hit a game winner on him. Brighton named Mother effing mouse.
Still
hate it. Fifth
grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. Four-time champion, only been done in West Orange.
Yeah.
Me and my dad.
What were you doing? What were you doing?
Basketball.
Basketball?
Yeah. Oh, you talking about field day?
Yeah, I'm talking about field day.
I got MVP once.
Okay. Just
one time. It was really on.
Whoa, guys, I'm not going to lie.
It was easy.
Turbulence.
It was easy, honestly.
Yeah, it was great. But, yeah, it was fun. You were just out there destroying kids. Allie, do you not like the turbulence?
No, I don't. And for our listeners, oh, my God.
No, what? Dude, yeah. Turbulence is no good on Big C Fry right now.
How does that make sense?
I do have a really good.
That was a dip.
Well, this is the thing.
This is real life. I do have a really good theory with all of this. And actually, it goes back to my very first year, Kyrie, involving you. So when we were on – mind you, I was an education major, so I wasn't supposed to do this. And so when I signed up, I had no idea how much you flew. Like, I didn't get it. So I hate flying.
When you came here, was this the first time you flew on an airplane?
No, but it was probably like the fourth.
Okay.
So I am sitting in the back, and anytime we hit any kind of turbulence, I would like shut down, like
cry.
Head between my knees, almost cry.
Read a book upside down.
I was always just afraid we were going to crash every single time.
And
if you
know
if
how
you
much
bring up
an
that
NBA team travel.
No, I had no clue. I'm telling you, I was an education major. Like I had no clue about any of this, right? So I'm sitting on the back of the plane, and my partner is Jeff Schaefer. It's been him for 5 years, right? So I'm sitting there. And finally, like midway through the season, he looks at me and he was like, Allie. He was like, Kyrie Irving is on our plane. God is not going to kill us. I'm like, you're right. You are right.
And after
and
that?
And ever since, my theory is, is number one, if we die, we're going to be a part. I'm going to be a part of one epic story. I just need to make sure my name is on that monument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but above that, it's never going to happen because
she's morbid. But
she's grew up on a farm.
But really quickly, we're Allie.
Kyrie, does that make you feel special?
We're going to interview Allie Clifton here for a second. So, how did you get this job? You were an education major. You didn't know how NBA teams traveled. How did you get this job?
I worked hard.
We all work hard. Everyone works hard.
No, it was
you
just,
have
I
one of the most coveted jobs in all of sports.
Well,
you actually
well, it
two,
used to
you,
not be coveted. You, let's be, let's
no, she has two of the most coveted jobs in all of sports. Right, one, the host of this podcast, and second, you work for Fox Sports Ohio, and you get to do the sideline for the Cavs.
Yeah.
So, how did you get that job? How did that come about?
They saw her resume up from Toledo.
I was an education major, and the day before final semester of my undergrad, I decided that I didn't want to do that anymore, so I changed my major.
Right.
All my credits transferred. I graduated. Stuck around and got my master's, and while doing that, I just started kind of dabbling into broadcasting. I had done 2 sideline gigs before I took this job. This job, which is really crazy.
Because this is your fifth year, and you were how old?
I was 24. Right out of my master's. I graduated in 2012, in May of 2012, and I got this job in August of 2012.
Jeez, they just give these jobs out to anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I had played basketball, so I at least had a little bit of knowledge, and I had a reel together that kind of showed that I at least knew what I was talking about.
This is Allie Clifton. They made a couple of shots and some dribbles.
It was amazing. They put the ball in the hole 5 times in a row.
Oh, my God. Is that a dunk?
I haven't seen a dunk before. That's great. See, in my town, in just outside of Toledo. No, I'm kidding.
So, Allie, what are you
– We are going to go on a tangent.
What are you going home after this conversation? Or what are there any other questions that you want to ask so I can help direct you to the right place?
Yes.
What do you mean?
You want to know about the Earth.
No,
or about
no.
lizard
I'm talking
people.
About if you need a book recommendation and you guys.
I do actually with All-Star Break coming up.
Good. Where are you going for All-Star Break?
Good. Give me.
Good.
Kai, what's your.
Toledo, Ohio.
Kai, what's your favorite book for our listeners out there? Give me one or
give
two
me
books.
Give me a book to read over All-Star. Yeah.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Oh, God, Channing. That's above your reading level.
So
I was a great reader.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was actually given to me from a friend. And, you know, I was going through a lot of stuff in my mind and my life. And the first book to, you know, the segue to other books is Osho, Emotions.
Oh. You told me about this already.
Yeah, it's Osho Emotions. It's literally like 100-something pages.
You got
it's almost like a paperback.
No, it doesn't
Channing
have pictures.
It has pictures, jeez.
But it really put a lot of things in perspective. So, and then once I read that, then it was kind of like, you know, it led me into other avenues. And then I met my girlfriend, which has been unbelievable. She's been unbelievable for me.
Very positive.
From this book?
What?
No, he just put it out there in the universe, man. He needed some love. He needed somebody to love
it
on.
It is Valentine's Day. You know,
it is Valentine's
Day. My girl has helped me a lot.
What is your girl's name?
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle.
Yep, call her Gabrielle.
Beware.
Short.
Yeah. Kyrie is on his way home to give you a cold.
She knows that. She
poor
knows
girl.
That. She knows
that sequel.
So wait, the book led you to her?
No, the book led me to other books, but when I actually – read. I don't want to give out all the other books, but it's by the author Osho.
Okay.
And you know, I hate the word like guru or anything like that, but you know, he has a lot of things that just put all our lives in perspective.
A lot of knowledge.
No, he has a ton of knowledge.
So technically, that's a guru.
You know what? The crazy thing about it is that once I heard that, once I read that, you know, because I was reading something that somebody put out about by Slam Online.
Right.
They wrote an article about me, so I was reading it and you know, see if they got the gist of. what I was saying. You know, I don't really like interviews that just particularly just put me as a basketball player. Like, mm-hmm. so much more than that. But he called him an Indian guru, and I got mad. And I was like, if I were to explain someone that had a lot of knowledge, wouldn't you explain them as just a knowledgeable person rather than an Indian guru?
You have to give a label. That's one of the problems, that you have to put a label out there.
No. We don't have to put a label out there. That's the whole thing.
I'm saying people do that. Like, they feel like there's a validation by putting a label, by labeling you an amazing basketball player. It's like, you're more than that. By labeling someone a guru, you're like, no, they're just a very knowledgeable person.
We'll save this for the next podcast, but I don't like – I've never liked the fact that I've being a person that's like where I'm identified as like he's an amazing basketball player.
Oh man, but that's
like, bro, I'm an amazing person.
I've actually had this conversation before too, because I don't want to be identified.
Well, I mean,
as
they don't ask the questions
wife.
Though, Channing.
No, they don't.
I mean, if you spend 2 minutes, all of a sudden, I mean, just spending 2 minutes with me, all of a sudden you love you. Oh, I didn't know Kyrie was like that.
I forgot you play basketball.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wait, but Al, you...
Like, I'm just saying, like, there's so much more, like, to your point.
Yeah.
You aren't
there
just
is.
A basketball
There is,
player.
But, and then they blame it on being identified. I don't mind. I'm in basketball. I get that. But since I've been a kid, I've always been like, yo, listen, basketball is not who I am. It's what I do. I enjoy it. I really, really enjoy it. I love it. But it's not who I am. If you ask the right question, or ask the questions, that if you were genuinely interested in getting to know someone as a person, would you start off by saying... You good at basketball, huh? Yeah, you like basketball. Yeah.
I have a question for you, though.
What's up?
You know how you mentioned how in this world we separate people by races, by color, by stuff? Do you think it's possible to get everybody to think one way, or are we too far gone from thinking?
No, we're never too far gone.
Correcting.
We're never too far gone from correcting that, Rafa. I think that it just has to come from a point where you know, we can't keep putting power into ideas that aren't right. They aren't the truth. The fact that we can, and you know, like I said, I never want to make it a race thing, but the fact that they can continue to make slavery movies and put them out and throw it right in front of, quote unquote, the black race's face, and all of a sudden, and then they have an uproar, and all of a sudden we're like, everyone's wrong. And then, you know, there's a Netflix thing that just came out. I don't know if you saw it. It's called Dear White People. And now all of a sudden they say, you know, white people are in uproar. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? The fact that that is still becoming news, the fact that all that history that has happened, we acknowledge it. I'm not gonna stay mad and give energy to an idea that has been wrong for so many years. I can't do that. I don't have the energy to give to that.
And we don't, again, it's another podcast. But just to add to your point, is if you look at the history of black cinema, and the most successful movies are The Butler, Birth of a Nation, 12 Years a Slave, Amistad.
It's supposed
Malcolm
to be a historic
X.
movie. Like, it's supposed like, to be a historic yeah, movie, yeah. and we can and they continue to make them and make them and make them, and then I mean, like it's gotta come to a point where that all of that is accepted in terms of the labels, the identification, and I identify with this group, so I'm gonna go sit over there or. No. You keep putting fears and ideas in people's minds, and then of course, you know, once one person believes it could spread like
the earth is flat.
Like no matter what.
I'm gonna need some documents. I'm gonna need you to send me some articles.
I'll send
you some. So this next time
your Snapchat is about to get blown up.
Why?
It's just so many people.
I call it being awake.
Stuff.
I call it being awake.
I need being awake.
People,
you need to be woke.
Awake. Yeah.
People out there,
awake.
Listen. This is what I need you to do. I need you to put on our Instagram page, Road Tripping. I need you to put links to articles that we need to read about the world being flat. If you have stuff on unicorns and the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus, I'm down to read those too. Not big on the Easter Bunny, but I'm interested in gaining some knowledge.
No, I think we all are. I think we all are. There's this point that we all come to. Where you want to really, really, really question things, but in our society, you're frowned upon when you ask. You're frowned upon when you want to learn more knowledge about something that makes someone else feel uncomfortable.
Like Columbus Day.
Oh my God.
No. I agree. And that's what I'm saying.
But that's what you're taught. You're taught Columbus Discovered America. And it was like it just really in the last like 10 years, people have been like, Okay, enough with this whole Columbus discovered America stuff.
Think about this. Think about this. As much knowledge as you have for surviving life, how much did that came from, or surviving just your life in general? So I'm talking about your job, your family. How much of that actually came from, you know, your educational system or like things that you've learned over time where you join a conversation, you have knowledge about it, but you're like, I'm not too sure about that. Did we get that? I think that comes from our educational system, brother.
Yeah, I have yet to use algebra.
Hey, we actually we just landed.
No, we did. We talked for the whole time.
That was a good conversation.
And it could still go on.
We could.
So it will be to be continued.
Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I still will pay my taxes. I still will do things in order to survive in this here America. I will still do everything and love this country.
Well, Kai, man, we have one more game, man. But, you know, just from, you know, as a young boy, man, I'm happy. As an old guy, I'm happy for you in the All-Star game.
You're my guy. You know that.
Good luck, man. I'll be watching.
Yeah.
I expect you to go hard. You said you was going to go hard.
I am going hard.
You're going to try and get that MVP.
When you score a three, can you, like,
do a celebration for all of y'all?
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah. Like,
I will.
Something for, like.
Almost. Like, I wanted to do a celebration after the long three I hit tonight.
Oh, it was deep. That was a deep three.
It was more of those effort moments.
Yeah. We just talked about how you want to be free and live free. Why didn't you let it out?
I don't know. I'm so locked in during the game. It's just like, I don't. I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
It's one of those things.
All right. Well. Thanks for joining. I don't even think you're not. You're technically a co-host. You're not. You're a co-host that joins us whenever he has time, whenever he's free.
I wouldn't even call this a guest. Free.
You're not
I'm
even
free.
A guest.
Emotions.
You're
Osho.
There we go. Got it.
And to our listeners, subscribe.
Subscribe.
iTunes.
Well, they can only subscribe once.
And with that said, for Kyrie Irving. Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson.
Here we are, landed in Cleveland, Ohio. It's actually 70 degrees outside.
I am your host, Allie Clifton.
You're your host, Allie Clifton.
You're our co-host, Kyrie.
So long. Good night, guys.